Welcome to the Tuesday morning zine, Pandora's Box, the other side of the story on your health and the environment. This is Joni Trussell, and today I'm here with Tina Sebastian, founder of the Four Corners Bee Association, also known as the Buzz Club. Tina has been a beekeeper for the past 9 years and president of the Buzz Club for the past 3, and she's just recently resigned as president. Welcome, Tina.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about bees and what's happening with them. And first, what I'd like to ask you about is your love of bees. What is it about bees?
Oh, what a big topic. There's so much about bees that I love. There's so many levels to beekeeping. There's the fascination of these tiny creatures that are so amazing in themselves, and they form a superorganism that work together so amazingly well. And just the balance of the whole beehive, it's just too fascinating. And then everyone who becomes a beekeeper also is instantly a naturalist, because you get to see how the natural world works, and you instantly become aware of more things even than just the bees, how other things affect the bees and the weather and the birds and the flowers. And also a scientist, because there's so much science in beekeeping. It's the most studied insect there ever has been, and for good reason. They're just so fascinating.
And they play such an integral part in our lives.
Oh, our food, definitely. So, yes, that's definitely true.
So one of the quotes that I just wanted to say was from Albert Einstein, and he said, if the bees disappeared off the face of the earth, humans would only have 4 years left to live. Can you speak to that a little bit?
I hate to disagree with Albert Einstein.
it's tricky.
He could be right on that, because such a large proportion of our food is pollinated by bees. Honeybees are the best pollinator there is, because there are so many in one area. But there are lots of other bees, and I think he said bees. So, and that's, we're not only concerned with honeybees, but with all the bees. There are hundreds of thousands of species of bees that all help us with our food and our flowers and our grasses and the pollination of everything. And those bees actually all work together to help one another, surprisingly. So if you had even one part of that fall, the whole rest of it probably would fall as well.
Well, and I guess there's a large percentage of our food that is necessary for pollination for us to have this food.
I think I've read it something like 70%. And you can find photos of this online. I think it was Natural Grocers took out all of the foods from their stores for one day that was pollinated by bees, and it looked empty. So, yeah, it's a large proportion of our food is pollinated by bees.
And so if you're just tuning in, this is Pandora's Box. I'm Joni Trussell. Today I'm here with Tina Sebastian, founder of the Four Corners Bee Association. We're talking about bees and what's happening with the bees. So one of the things that I'd like to talk a little bit about is what is the threat to the bee survival today? Can you speak to that?
I don't know if you can say there is the threat, but there are several threats. And a lot of it's just the way our culture is today. Everyone wants everything to be easy. If there are dandelions in their lawn, they want to just spray it and have them go away. And so pesticides and herbicides is a major threat to our bee population today. Also, fungicides, all these sides that you spray on things in your yard, really hard on the bees, and particularly the honeybees. And then we have radio towers, cell towers with radio frequencies that are very harmful to bees, because they're magnetically inclined, just like whales. And they think that a big part of why bees are disappearing is because they can't find their way home, because they're confused by the cell towers and things. So, but I would say that if the biggest problem we have is the chemicals we're putting into our environment.
Okay. And one of the things about the chemicals is that a lot of beekeepers, or maybe not as much small backyard beekeepers, but in general, beekeepers may use pesticides or any kind of herbicides on their plants, but they also may be using things to eliminate the mites on the bees. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Part of it is that we recognize this threat to our bees, which is mites. And so when we first discovered the mites in our country, which wasn't that long ago, bees were dying by the hundreds of thousands. We just lost colonies everywhere. So our reaction is to try to save the bees using chemicals. And what we're trying to do is use a chemical to kill a tiny bug on a slightly larger bug. And, of course, it's just, it's actually Pandora's box is the perfect analogy for that, because we've just opened up a big problem. And what we're doing when we use chemicals to kill mites is we're just introducing that into a, something else that that damages their immune systems is what we're doing. And we're selecting for the mites that can survive the chemicals, so that's strong mites, and we're selecting for bees that aren't resistant to the mites. So we're selecting for strong mice and weak bees. And you're right, that's not quite as common in backyard beekeepers, but the commercial beekeepers have an effect on all beekeepers, because they that is where our package bees come from. So when you decide to get bees, you order a package of bees, and it comes from those bees that have been on the almonds, where the almonds have been sprayed with chemicals and fungicides, and then the commercial beekeepers are using acaricides, they're called, inside their hives, and maybe not following package directions, where they just stick the strip in there and leave it. And beeswax is a sponge that soaks up chemicals. It's very hard to get rid of a chemical that once it's soaked into that beeswax. So there's a big movement, and it's a pretty new one, of not using these chemicals, the miticides, inside the beehive right now. So we're sort of struggling to get over the hump of the weak bees and the strong mites. We're trying to kind of let our weaker bees go and select for and breed for stronger bees, but it's a struggle.
Okay, we will, this is Pandora's Box. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back to talk more about the bees with Tina Sebastian. Welcome back. This is Pandora's Box. I'm Joni Trussell. I'm here today with Tina Sebastian, founder of the Four Corners Bee Association. We're talking about bees, and we're talking specifically about what's happening to the bees, what the threat is to the bees, and I think one of the threats that I'd like to talk a little bit about is genetically modified food and how that might affect the bees.
Genetically modified food, you know, we might not be able to taste the difference or tell the difference, but the bees can tell. And there are different qualities of pollen in different kinds of food, and not everything has a great pollen. And now when we genetically modify it, the pollen is also less nutritious for the bees. And the bees, no, they avoid that pollen if they can. If they can't, they have to take it, and it reduces their immune systems. So we have all these things working together, the pesticides and the radio frequencies, and now this the genetically modified organism that reduces the bees' immune systems. So that makes them more vulnerable to viruses and bacteria that attack bees, where they would normally be able to. It's like being killed by a cold, just because your immune system is down.
And so I wonder about the idea, the reference to colony collapse disorder, and if that is in fact something that's related to all the things that we're talking about right now.
Yes, what they call colony collapse disorder, they're beginning to find is not one problem, but it's like a puzzle with different pieces that all fit together that bring down the bee colony. And the pieces are what we've mentioned today, that genetically modified organisms, and actually just poor forage where people are planting, they're killing off the weeds and planting things that monocultures where the bees don't have a good variety of food, also the pesticides and herbicides, all these things work together to bring down the immune system of the bees. And, of course, now we're trying to get over this mite problem where we have a slightly higher mite load, and the mites are what bring the viruses and bacteria that attack bees into their hive. So now we're reducing their immune system, and they're being attacked by these viruses, like a cold virus, that they should be able to conquer.
But because they've been bred to have something to fight the mites, they don't know how to fight the mites on their own. I mean, if they're using pesticides or anything to kill the mites.
Yes, that's correct. We're finding that if we select bees that are resistant to the mites on their own, they have what we call hygienic behavior. And so they can actually sense where the mites are breeding and remove them. And also they have genetic behavior where they actually groom one another. I can see this in my observation hive at home. And it's like a really violent massage. and they would actually sweep the mites off of the bees. So if we allow the bees to learn, they can learn to conquer these things on their own.
I just had this image of watching gorillas pick bugs off each other.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
So if you're just tuning in, this is Pandora's Box, and I am here today, Joni Trussell, talking to Tina Sebastian, and we're talking about what's happening with the bees. And I guess to kind of the last part of this program, I'd like to talk a little bit about what we can do as people on this planet to help save the bees or protect the bees or keep the bees around. Not necessarily as backyard beekeepers, although that's certainly an option that would be one that I'm sure you would endorse, but other things that we can do as individuals.
Oh, there's so many levels of things we can do. And one is become an organic gardener and lawn keeper. Imagine the size of this country and how many thousands of acres, hundreds of thousands of acres, are in agriculture, big ag where they spray all kinds of stuff. And yet 11% of all pesticides and herbicides are used on people's lawns. And they don't even realize it. You know, I've had people before tell me that they don't put anything on their lawn. And I ask, well, why don't you have any dandelions? And they say, well, I use Weed and Feed. They just don't really even realize what things they're putting on their lawns that are dangerous for bees. And, in fact, I have this problem in my yard where I'm having bindweed. Bindweed is just trying to take over my yard. And I've been asking, what can I do? Because the only thing that I know of that really kills bindweed is Roundup. And they tell you that Roundup is safe because it supposedly is inactivated when it hits the soil. Not true. And Roundup is one of the worst things for bees because they carry it back to the hive with the pollen. So, you know, I have just had to become used to the idea that I'm going to have bindweed, and it's a wonderful chicken feed that I can't get rid of. I pull it up and feed it to my chickens every week, and it comes right back. But that's part of the challenge of trying to live in balance with nature, is learn to get away from all those chemicals that make your life so much easier and faster. And another way you can help the bees is to plant things for them. You know, a good variety of flowers and shrubs in your yard that bloom, that provide nectar and pollen all summer. That Russian sage is one of their favorite things. And I'll tell you, I plant dandelions in my yard for my bees. And, you know, just don't be so excited about having a weed or two along the edge of the road by your house. all those things work together to help the bees. And not only honeybees, but all the bees that we need to make a nice balance. We're losing bumblebees, species of bumblebees, every year. So it's really important.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Tina, for joining us. This is Pandora's Box, and we are going to wrap up this show, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with another edition of Pandora's Box.
Thank you very much, Joni. I appreciate you having me.